have 2 minutes to bring in more chairs.
Where do you guys begin from? Shutfin?
Yeah.
Wow, we already got all the way to... Bikias?
Bikias.
What does Bikias mean? Marashi or Marashi Tosas?
Marashi, some Tosas.
Selected Tosas.
Yeah.
Join the league?
Yeah, very much so.
We'll see everybody's first year. We get a little bit rusty, but we sit around for so many days just being looking at them. Even though I was Shabbos, I was in Shivat Haratzion doing some shiurim. Shabbos will have an opportunity, and Sunday and Monday before I go back. But usually it's every day, so I appreciate the opportunity, and it gives me a great deal of nachas to see one's own talmidim, the mamet talmidim. So that too is something that I'm very grateful for. The decided to talk today a little bit about Purim. That'll be a short Torah, but just the one particular issue which I think is very, very important. The Ramban, in the beginning of his Kiddushim on the Second Megillah, how are you? Another very, very famous comment asks an important question. Ramban points out that the holiday of Purim seems really unique, seems different from all other chagim. Not only because it, together with Chanukah, is the Rabbanan, or the Sofrim, or the Kabbalah, whoever one wants to characterize it, that in itself would make it different, but for another reason that really makes it unique, even as compared to Chanukah. The fact that we celebrate Purim in all sorts of different, on all sorts of different days. And Itayim Ma'od, says the Ramban, how he starts off his Kiddushim on Masechet Megillah. I'm astonished. Ma ro al kacha, ma higia elehem. This is a kind of a play on the language of the Megillah. The Ramban, even when he's asking the question, is very firmly ensconced in the rhythm, one could say, of the Torah Shebichtav of the Megillah. Ma ro al kacha, ma higia elehem. Lasos Yisrael agudos b'mitzvah hazu. So Ramban says, I'm not suggesting that this is a halachic problem, the problem of los iskodudu, lo tasu agudos agudos, so you shouldn't have different dinim, but rather we should be animated by the spirit of mishpat echad yelachem, that there should be a unified observance in Klal Yisrael. It isn't a technical halachic problem, but nonetheless, it's still very astonishing, it's startling, that we choose to celebrate Purim in such a fractured way, in such a fragmented way. Where do we find such a phenomenon? And the Ramban says, lest you say again, this is a dindra rabbanan, we do have a principle called the tikkun, and the takana is patterned kein daraisa tikkun. So why is it that even if there's no technical problem of those iskodudu, why did the chachamim choose, select a form of celebrating Purim, which is intentionally fragmented? That's Ramban's question. And he goes on to say, don't tell me that the answer is because lamaisa, the experience of Purim was different for the people in Shushan and by extension Bnei Krachim as opposed to everyone else. He rejects that possibility. Don't say because the experience, the Maisa, happened to be that each you know, community experience some different day. That alone justifies this. Because number one, even a day that was more significant for the other cities was relevant also for Shushan. And if that's the case, they should have been mitaken a single day for everyone based on this idea of unity. If you really wanted to commemorate the additional element of Shushan, so then there should have been a two-day holiday in the Krachim and a one-day holiday everywhere else, but at least Yudalid should have been celebrated by both. So the Ramban is very disturbed, finds this to be very difficult. Hopefully we'll get back to the Ramban's answer a little bit later on, but let's hold off on that for a moment. Do we have a text of the Megillah here by any chance? Tanakh? To answer that question, let's go, or to make a suggestion to answer that question, so let's just look at a certain Gemara very quickly in Masachet Megillah. The Gemara in Daf Hei Amud Beis in Megillah tells a little bit of a story. The Gemara says that, one second, see if I can find it here. Where it tells a story that Rebbe was a natia on Purim, that he planted something on Purim, and the Gemara wants to know how could he do that? What on what justification he was able to do this? Shirin, do this. Okay. What's the problem with planting on Purim? So the Gemara says, Hecha nata natia b'purim, atani Rav Yosef, simcha u'mishte v'yom tov. Simcha, melamed shasur b'hesped, mishte melamed shasur b'tainis. Yom tov, melamed shasur b'asiyas melacha. So the Megillah characterizes Purim as a day of simcha, mishte v'yom tov. We derive from each of these terms halachos, simcha, mishte, hesped b'tainis, and yom tov, isur melacha. One of the Isurim Malachas we know is Zoreya. Noteya is either a Ne'en Ha'av or a Tolda of Zoreya. You're not allowed to do Netiya on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So how is it possible that Rebbe was Noteya on Puri? Okay, before you all get too panicked, we'll hold off the Maskan of the Gemara. Nobody should start being concerned that maybe he's violated past Purims. This is the Havamina of the Gemara. The Gemara says, Ella Rebbe Bar Arbesar Haben. Bechinata Bechamesar. Since you have 2 days of Purim, some people keep the 14th, some people keep the 15th, depending on where you live. So maybe the Natiya that he planted was not on his day. Right? He planted it on the 15th. He himself was a 14th person. The Gemara says, Eini. That can't be, because Rebbe B'Tveria Haba. B'Tveria Mukefas Chomi Mose Yoshua Binun Haba. Tveria is a walled city, and therefore they keep Tezvah. So if he planted on Tezvah, we're still in trouble. Ela Rebbe bar Chamisar Hava, Bechinata bar Beisar Hava. Rather, what happened was the opposite. He was a 15 person, he was a Krach person, he was a Ben Krach, and he planted on the 14th. So the Gemara says, Amip Shitalei de Tveria Mukav Tzchomi Rosa Shua Hava. Incidentally, how do you know about Tveria? Ocheski Akori be Tveria Arvasar. They used to read both on 14th and 15th because they weren't sure. So the Gemara says, that's not our problem right now. The Gemara says, So the Gemara says, even if it's true that he was a Ben Krach and he was Noteya on Yudalid, or vice versa, wouldn't that be a problem? After all, we learn in Megillas Tainis that both days of Purim are Asurim, Behesped, U, the Tainis. And if that's true, then even a Ben Krach has some acknowledgement of Yom Yudalid, even a Ben Ir, a regular Ir, Prazos, a Ben Ir of Yudalid, has to acknowledge Yom Tezvav. And by extension, the Gemara thought, that should apply to not only the Simcha Mishta, but the Yom Tov part as well. After all, it's one pasuk. Simcha, Mishta, the Yom Tov. If the Simcha and Mishta apply both days, the Yom Tov part should apply both days as well. So the Gemara says, no, that assumption is incorrect. Hani, mili behesped v'tainis. Aval, malacha, right, Yom Echad, with regard to Megillas Tainis, is actually a little compendium which puts together all of the Yemei Simcha that were observed in that time, with the Isra of Hesped Tainis. So even though it happens to be that in the Pasuk, Simcha, Mishta, and Yom Tov are together, the din of Megillas Tainis, which is that there's a mutual recognition of both Yedalin and Tesvav, that's limited to Megillas Tainis Halachos, namely Hesped, the Tainis, it doesn't apply to the Yom. Then the Gemara says, Mesulo, Eini, Varebi, Chazi, Lahu, Gabra, Dava, Kashodi, Kitna, Bipuraya, Vilatya, Vilotzamach, Kitna. The Gemara says, and it's not a problem then. After all, we know that Rav, an event that took place, Rav witnessed a certain person who was throwing seeds on Purim, meaning he was planting on Purim, the Latye, and he was Mekalal him, and as a result, he, you know, because of this Klala, because he shouldn't, in other words, have been planting on Purim, so the thing never grew. So the Gemara says, Hasam Bayomehaveh. No, that wasn't because of the din of Shalzeh, Bazeh, 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 the mutual acknowledgement of each day. That's because that fellow was throwing Azraim on the actual day that they were observing Purim. That's a whole different story. So the Gemara says, then the Gemara says, Rabba, bring the Rabba Amar, Afilu Tema Biyomei, Hesped Betainis Kabilo Alayu, Malacha Lo Kabilo Alayu. Till now, the assumption of the Gemara was that since the Pasuk says, Simcha Mishta V'Yom Tov, so there's an Isur Malacha, and then we've been trying to figure out how could there be a Netiyah, and maybe the Netiyah was on the other day, and then the question is, but don't the days recognize each other? This whole assumption that Isur Malacha applies to Purim is incorrect, it's not true. How do we know it's not true? So the Gemara is Medayik from the language of the Megillah. Demikarksiv Simcha Umishta V'Yomtov. The first time when the Megillah describes Purim, it talks about a Simcha Mishta V'Yomtov. When Basovksiv Lasos Osam Yamim Mishta V'Simcha V'Iliyomtov Loksiv. The second time when the Mish, when the, there are several times when the Megillah, right, formulates Purim. It's almost as if you could tell there was a struggle going on to define what the character and nature of Purim was going to be. We have like four different formulations from the very first time it's mentioned until the last. I'll read them for you in just a second. So the Gemara's Bedayik from those psukim that the first time we formulate Purim, it's Simcha Mishta Yom Tov. The next time, or the last time, the word Yom Tov is dropped, and that's to indicate that there is no Isur Malacha on Purim. That's the case. Then being noteya is not a problem. So the Gemara says, Bela Rav, my time alat, yalau gavra. But if there's no Isur Malacha, so now the question goes in the other direction. That poor fellow threw the Zeraim in the ground, and Rav cursed him, and the tree didn't even grow, and wasted, kitna. So what was the problem? What did he do wrong? So the Gemara says, Dvar ma mutarim b'acher nogim b'bisur have u'ba'atre derebi lo nohug, etc. Then the the Rebbe Natiya Shal Simcha Nata. Either the Minag HaMakom was not to do Malacha, and this fellow violated it, and in Rebbe's case there was no Minag HaMakom, or even if there was a Minag HaMakom, but Natiya Shal Simcha is a different story. Natiya Shal Simcha is not a violation of the Minag not to do Malacha on Purim. That's the Shakla Vitaria. It's an amazing Shakla Vitaria in that the number one, the question whether there is an Isur Malacha on Purim is at stake, and maybe even more significantly, you see with what Diuk the Chachamim read the Megillah, and noticing the changes in the various formulations in the Megillah itself, which we'll get back to in just a second. Now, so according to the Maskana, one would think that there is no din of Isur Malacha whatsoever based on this transition. Indeed, if the Gemara can be Medayik, so, you know, we don't have obviously the same Masora, but obviously it's fair game to look at the Psukim, to scrutinize them, and to be discerning in terms of the changes. So we should note that the change in the Psukim is not only in the dropping of Yom Tov, but two other things happened as well at the same time. Number one, Simcha Mishta became Mishte V'Simcha. The order was switched in the second rendition. One other thing took place, which is worth noting, and that is, in the earlier version, in one of the earlier versions of the Megillah, we have reference only to Mishloach Manos. In the final version, in the Halacha, we have Mishloach Manos and Matanos Lev Yomi. Just to read the some of the psukim here. Second. Vayehudim asher b'shushan nikalu b'shlosha sabo b'arba sabo b'noach b'kamisha sabo b'asa sayom mishte v'simcha. The original description of what happened in Shushan is that they made a mishte v'simcha, mishte prior to simcha. Then the pasuk says, Alkena Yehudim aprazim hayoshim b'oria prazos, referring now to the future, osim es yomar b'asa l'chodesh adar simcha u'mishte v'yom tov, our pasuk. So the experience of the day was actually Mishte Kodim L'Simcha, no word on Yom Tov. Then they decided, well, we're going to make a festival of this. When it first happened, it wasn't a festival. It wasn't a chag. It was an experience. It was a nes, right? They now had to figure out, the Chachamim, how do we commemorate the Dori Doris, this amazing event. So they decided, like we always commemorate amazing events, we're going to make it into a Yom Tov. And what does that mean? It means a kind of Mikrokodesh, Isur Malacha. And it means not Mishta the Simcha, but Simcha u'Mishta, meaning the Mishta, the Suga, is a function of the Simcha. You don't get Sameach because of Mishta, right? You get a Mishta because there is a mitzvah of Simcha, like a regular Yom Tov. And that also includes Mishloach Manos, Ishtarei. That was the second rendition. Then we're told, "Vayichta Mordechai Sadvar Meila, Vayishlach Svarim El Kol Ayhudim, Asher B'Kol Amidim Samachas Kashveros Hakrovim Arachokim, Lekayim Aleim Lios Osim Esyom Arbasu V'Chol Shadar, Esyom Chamish Alsevar B'Chol Shana V'Shana, Piyamim Asher Nochem Bem Ayhudim Ve'Behem, Achon Shul Shafach Miyogon Lesimcha Me'Evel Liyom Tav Lasas Osam." And this is what the Gemara is talking about. The next rendition, Yemei Mishte v'simcha, they went back to the original experience. U'mishloach manos ishlorayehu, and here they added one more thing. They dropped the Yom Tov and they added u'matanos lev yonim, and that's what we do. That's what we do today. So one could have understood that the transition in the Gemara is an absolute transition. Not only there's no isur malacha, but basically there's no concept of Yom Tov whatsoever, and the psukim bear this out by the change, not only in the dropping of Yom Tov, but the switching of Mishta, the order of Mishta, the Simcha, and the adding of Matanos Lev Yonim, which is not something that we normally associate with a Yom Tov. The Rambam seems not to have understood it precisely in this way. The Rambam in Perek Beis, Hilchos Megillah, Halacha Yedalid, second, Mitzvah Yom Yudalid Lebnei Kfarim Vayaris Yom Tesvav Lebnei Kachim Liosom Yemei or Yom. So I would have expected Mishte V'Simcha, because that's the final pasuk that we use. For some reason the Rambam, he does this in one other place as well, in Hos Megillah, says Yom Simcha U'Mishte. Again, this is not the diuk of the Gemara, so maybe it's not such a big deal, but it is interesting that he's quoting the original pasuk, the original Yom Tov, the original commemoration pasuk, in other words. And then he adds Mishloach Manos Lareim U'Matanos Lev Yomim. And then he adds Mutar Basias Malacha. That's the conclusion of our Gemara. And then he says V'Apal Pikein Ein Roi Lasos Bo Malacha Om Chachamim Kol Osa Malacha B'Yom Purim Ein Roi Simen Bracha Li'Olam. Now this halacha that Om Chachamim Kol Osa Malacha B'Yom Purim Ein Roi Simen Bracha Li'Olam, which appears in the Gemara, in theory, it could be understood as a separate halacha. The way the Rambam formulates it, it seems to be a remnant of the original idea that there was a kind of Yom Tov for Purim. Purim was going to be Yom Tov and Isur Malacha. They decided, no, we're going to drop the Isur Malacha. But still there's a minhag Shein Roa Simen Bracha. It's not Asur, but Ein Roa Simen Bracha. But it's the same notion of Isur Malacha. The Orchas Chaim, one of the Rishonim, Rabbi Aaron HaKohen Milo Mil, says it explicitly. It says, even though the Gemara says that there's no Isur Malacha, they only mean that there's no Onesh, right? There's no technical Isur. But the Siman Bracha that we speak about in the Gemara is not just that you shouldn't be distracted, let's say, on Purim. It's a modification of the original Havamina that there really is an Isur Malacha. In other words, I'm trying to suggest, maybe the Rambam hears Lashitaso, and that's why he doesn't flip the Mishta, the Simcha, as well. He retains the original Simcha Mishta. The question is, in the Maskaras HaGemara, have we given up on the idea that Purim is a kind of a routine Chag, right? Where Isur Malacha, if it's not binding, is still relevant, where the Simcha predates the Mishta, or are we of the opinion that a radical transformation has taken place here, and what we have is Mishta v'Simcha, there's no concept whatsoever in Isur Malacha, the din of Inaroa Simen Bracha is a separate halacha. You should be focusing on Purim, on the themes of Purim, right? Not on your work. But it has nothing to do with the regular idea of Isur Malacha that we find in Shabbos and in Yom Tov. For example, the Levush has a discussion, what is the appropriate attire for Purim? You wear regular weekday clothes, should be attired in big day Yom Tov, right? There are discussions in the poskim, for example, about getting married on Purim. Is that really a problem of, you know, Im Arvin Simcha v'Simcha? Is it like the problem of Yom Tov? There are issues of Panim Chadashos. Is Purim like Panim Chadashos, where you don't need Panim Chadashos, or is Panim Chadashos Balakan, just like Yom Tov is? There are various ways to explain these different discussions, but at least one perspective might be, to what extent, even though the Gemara dropped the technical Isur Malacha, noting the change in the Megillah, to what extent it's just that we're not Machmir completely, but the concept of being Purim as a Yom Tov, for example, the Medrash, in a few places, speaks of Purim as a kind of Yom Tov. The Medrash says, you know, all Yom Tovim, all the Chagim will be betelim lasad lavo, whatever that means, sweet, very difficult chazal. But with the exception of Purim, applying the Purim as a kind of a Chag, right? Not just a Yemei Mishta. How do you greet people on Purim is an interesting question. I don't know if anybody speaks about it, but it's something that always occurred to me. You certainly don't say Good Yom Tov. Right, usually people, you know, go for the Yiddish, Freilicha, whatever. But Simchas, what exactly should you say on Purim? It's a very strange kind of a beer, a strange kind of a day. However, if you don't go with the position of the Rambam and the Levush and some of these Sfeikos, the simple reading of the Gemara is that the Chachamim in the time of the Megillah changed their mind 180 degrees. They really decided that there is no din of Yom Tov at all. There's no Isur Malacha. Even the Mishta creates the Simcha, and that's really kind of our minog. That's really our noheg, I shouldn't say our minog. That's what we're noheg to do. There's a very famous comment of the Levush and the Bach. You know, Marm Rutenberg was of the opinion that Chanukah doesn't require, has no din of Suda. Right? Some Rishonim disagree and see that there is a Kiyum of Suda on Chanukah, and others say, Marshall and others, you should always have Dibrei Torah on Chanukah, that way every Sudas Chanukah will certainly also be a Sudas Mitzvah, fine. But the question arises, according to the Rambam Rutenberg, if there's no din of Suda on Chanukah, what's the difference between Chanukah and Purim? So there's this famous comment, it's slightly formulated slightly differently by the Bach and by the Levush, but the basic idea is the same, and that is that, you know, Purim is very much focused on Hanos HaGuf, right, of the physical salvation of Klal Yisrael, and therefore it expresses itself in the form of Mishnah. It's more than a regular Seuda in one respect. The Rishonim tries to explain why it is that you shouldn't be able to have your Sudas Purim, Purim is Chal on Shabbos, so at least have the Suda on Shabbos. Right? Actually, some people do. That's the Purim Meshulash issue. They're different Makoros, so it's an interesting topic. But those who don't, partially it's based on the Rishonim, where the Rishonim basically says that Sudas Shabbos and Sudas Purim don't mix well. They're two different ideas. Again, I think that that's partially because the Suda on Shabbos is a Suda of Simcha, or results from Simcha. The Suda of Purim creates the Simcha. It's just a totally different experience, but it really is a different experience in every way. indeed, from this light. The change is also, we drop the Yom Tov, we switch the order of Mishnah to Simcha, and we add a Matanos Avyonim. Again, Matanos Avyonim is not really a Yom Tov halacha. It's a halacha which is very appropriate for a chol, a Yom Chol, in which we're celebrating the theme of Hashgacha, but it's not really a Yom Tov halacha. So if this is the case, so maybe one can suggest that this is what was going on in the decision to make a takana to split Purim as well. The Ramban didn't like the answer that the experience itself were determined that you have to have different dates. When they decided to commemorate as a chag, they should have put it all together in one fell swoop. But if we examine the psukim as we just did, what we noticed was when they experienced it, it was Mishnah V'Simcha. Right? Then initially they were going to be Metakein in the form of a kind of chag, of a Yom Tov, and then it was going to be Simcha, Mishnah, the Yom Tov. And then they decided to go back to the theme, not of Simcha U'Mishnah, but of Mishnah V'Simcha. Almost as if the commemoration of the chag, instead of being in the form of a formal Yom Tov, actually it's better to go back to that original experience of Purim itself. Why? Because in a certain sense, that really is what makes Purim unique. It's not just that they dropped the Isur Malacha because they felt it was too much of a chumran people. The decision was probably one that was made intentionally in order to maximize and optimize what it is that is unique about Purim. What's unique about Purim is precisely the fact that despite being a Yom Chol, right, it's a day which expresses Hashgachas Hashem. The Medrash that I mentioned before about all the Moedim being batel with the exception of Purim is very shocking. Obviously, Purim isn't Daraisa, Purim doesn't have Yisra Malacha. How could that be? And equally, we have the Rishalmi that the Rambam quotes in the final words of Hilchos Megillah. The Rishalmi says that, you know, Kol HaMegillah, Kol Sifrei Nevi'im and Ksuvim, with the exception of Chamisha Chumshei Torah, will be Betelim Limos HaMashiach, right? With the exception of the Megillah. Somehow, the Megillah is so unique that even in Limos HaMashiach, it remains the only part of Nevi'im and Ksuvim to be part of the canon. Kol Sifrei Nevi'im and Kol HaKsuvim HaSidim Libot HaLimos HaMashiach, Chutz Megillas Esther, Arehi Kayemes, Kechamisha Chum Sheitora, Ukalocha Shotora Shabal Peh, She'enim Betelim Leola. Av Bishkol Zichon Atzor Sivatel, She'nemar Kiyishko Atzoros Arishonos, V'chinistur Me'e Nai, V'mei Apurim Lo Yivatelu, She'nemar V'mei Apurim O'ela Lo Yavru Mitocha Yehudim, V'zichrom Lo Yasuk Mizara. So again, why the special yichus of Megillas Esther? I think the answer is that what's unique about Megillas Esther is it's not a Yom Tov type Megillah. It's an everyday Megillah, and that makes it far more powerful. Being able to see Hashgachas Hashem and to believe in Yeshua Hashem in a regular day, in a Yom Chol, everybody notes that, you know, Shem Hashem doesn't appear in the Megillah. It's a B'nahafokhu kind of a celebration. It's all about the theme of Hashgacha, the kind of Hashgacha which we don't always discern every day, but which we should, and even we don't actually feel it or experience it, we should have the faith that it is there and that it is guiding us. If this is the case, so perhaps we can understand, despite the theme of Mishpat Echad Yehalachem, and maybe because of the theme of Mishpat Echad Yehalachem, the decision was made by the Chachamim, Dafka not to make Purim look like a regular Yom Tov. We Dafka wanted Purim to be celebrated in a different way. Moreover, going back to the first idea of the Ramban, which he himself rejects, Dafka to go back to the experience of Purim, so that even when you're commemorating it as an experience itself. So as we look forward, Mishanichnas Adar already marbid the Simcha, which is also a very unusual halacha. We know the din of Shloshim Yom Lifnei Achag. We have all sorts of dinim in preparation for the chag. But the din of Mishanichnas Adar marbid the Simcha, paralleling the sadness of Mishanichnas Av Mimatim the Simcha, but for an opposite but parallel reason, is just a different halacha. And because it is a chag shel chol, but a chag nonetheless, it's the kind of thing which we can prepare for, so that when we reach it very soon, we'll be able to appreciate it more fully. Thank you.